After experiencing significant cuts in state aid during the past three state budget battles, the UW system may be getting a boost in funding in the next 2 years. That's because Governor Scott Walker has proposed $100 million in additional state aid to the UW, but it's not all carrot. If it's passed as is, the current budget would offset those aid increases with the first tuition cut in decades. So how will those numbers look once they've worked their way down to our three universities right here in western Wisconsin? That's the question. We'll try to get some answers to that question this hour on the West Side. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning on Ideas 88.3 WHWC Menominee Eau Claire and 88.7 WRFW River Falls. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined in studio by three representatives from UW River Falls, UW Stout, and UW Eau Claire. First, Dean Van Gallen is with us in studio. He is the Chancellor of UW River Falls. Dean, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Rich. Great to be with you this morning.
Good to have you. Phil Lyons is in with us as well. He is Vice Chancellor of Administrative and Student Life Services at UW Stout. Phil Lyons, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. And back with us is Mike Rindo. He is Vice Chancellor of Facilities and University Relations at UW Eau Claire. Mike, good to have you.
Hi there. Nice to know that Phil and I have these really long titles, and Chancellor Van Gale, just Chancellor.
Yeah, it's simple. You should all be chancellors.
No.
Well, I'm going to trip over a little bit more, but I appreciate the levity. Listeners, we're going to be talking about a lot of really in-depth stuff, a lot of numbers. If you have questions or comments, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. You can ask these gentlemen direct questions about what the state budget could mean for our local universities. 1-800-228-5615. And, of course, we've got to preface it by saying there is a lot of process to go yet with this state budget. But we've got an outline, so we're going to talk about it. Also, if you have a question or a comment and you'd rather not go on the air, you can go to the Westside Facebook page and post it there. I will do my best to get your question or comment on the air. So let's just start off. One of the big things, one of the headlines, as it were, has to do with the tuition cut proposal. So what I'm wondering, Governor Scott Walker is talking about a 5% across-the-board state tuition cut for resident students. What would that look like at your representative campuses? Chancellor Van Gallen, I'll start with you.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I guess I'd like to kind of start with a bit of a big picture and how appreciative I think the UW is in terms of the governor's budget proposal. This would be the first new investment in higher education in about a decade. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of details in that budget. We'll talk about tuition and others. But in the end, I guess I like to remind people that this is about the impact that we can have as campuses on the individual students we serve, really those life-changing experiences for our students, and then the impact on the state of Wisconsin in terms of its future workforce, economy, quality of life. So to me, that's really what we're talking about here. Yes, we care about the numbers and the policies, all very important, but there's a bigger picture here, and so I just wanted to make that point. In terms of tuition, many of your listeners may know that tuition has been frozen for in-state undergraduate students for 4 years now, and the governor's proposed to continue that freeze another year, and then in the second year of this next two-year biennium to reduce tuition by 5% for those students. He also proposes to backfill the lost revenue, which is about $35 million for the UW system. So if that proposal were to go through, of course, tuition would be reduced that second year, and the campuses would not feel an impact from that. I think my point would be we're all in favor of affordability, but quality is also important. And I do worry that can we sustain for how many years frozen or reduced tuition. And so it really comes down to the balance of tuition and state support. If you look back historically in 1974, there was about 79% state support, 21% tuition support for example, UW River Falls. That's now 28% state support, 72% tuition. So if the state does indeed increase its investment in higher ed, then tuition can be controlled and affordable. So when people ask, do you favor a tuition cut, I say, well, I can't answer that until I know the investment the state is going to make in our institutions.
In the studio, there are a lot of nodding heads. Mike Rindo, I'll go to you. We're kind of going round robin at this point, as according to how we're sitting in the studio, if that matters to anyone at home, which it doesn't. But so this offset would be, it would make, you know, it wouldn't hurt, supposedly and theoretically, the university system. But in the long view, is there a concern that this even though it might be offset in this legislative, you know, this biennial budget session, that it might, that might not be offset in the future, Mike Rindo?
Well, I think it's important to Chancellor Van Galen's point that it is an offset that the governor is proposing, but that also is important that we have a base adjustment going forward. So this is not money that somehow in a future biennium disappears. Mm-hmm. So it's important that that level of support, because at UW-Eau Claire, very similar situation where we're now at about 80% tuition funded and 20% state funded, and so that would help. Now, we all are aware of college affordability, but we also know that in Wisconsin we're relatively inexpensive in terms of what students pay in other states.
Surrounding states?
Yes, or? And we're very efficient in the way that we go about providing degrees. So if you take a look at what it costs to produce a degree in Wisconsin, we're at about $65,000 for a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. Nationally, that number is $75,000. So we're about $10,000 less than what the typical cost is nationwide. If you take a look at surrounding states, to your point, Illinois is at $89,000. Mm. So we're $34,000 less than Illinois. And then you can go down the list. Iowa's at $86,000, Michigan's at $80,000, Indiana's at $80,000, Minnesota's at $78,000, and Ohio's at $76,000. So we really are, in terms of the cost of education in Wisconsin, compared to surrounding states, very efficient. And our tuition is relatively low compared to surrounding states as well. So the affordability, you know, in all fairness, Wisconsin has a tendency to lag a little bit behind in per capita income. But on the other hand, we're very efficient and we're very affordable. And to Dean Van Galen's point, we're also very high quality. And so that's a real win for the citizens of Wisconsin.
We're very affordable. Still, when I hear $65,000 and being a recent grad, you know, within the past 10 years, I've still got a lot of student debt. Some of you might have student debt that you're paying off. Is there any idea, Phil Lyons, at UW-Stout, for example? I mean, we're already affordable, but is there any idea how much a 5% tuition cut, when broken down to the university level, to the campus level, what that would save a person per year? I saw an average statewide. Yeah. I thought it was 368, something like that.
Well, many of the tuitions at the UW average about $8,000 a year. At UW-Stout, we're on a credit hour, so it's $233 a credit hour, $70 a class. So generally, per year, that might save a student about $350 to $400, on average. A different twist to this might be that 5% – is given to financial aid. And so instead of decreasing tuition at the institutions, you provide a large amount of financial aid to then apply to low-income students.
And that's something that Speaker Voss has mentioned as a possibility as it goes through the mm-hmm. budget process.
Right, because it's some of the leaders in the legislature were a little cool to the idea of the 5% tuition cut. I didn't see an exact reason why.
I think it speaks to the ability of people to pay. So what Speaker Voss has said from his perspective is, why give a 5% across the board tuition cut? Because there's many people in Wisconsin who can't afford to pay out of pocket for a UW tuition, mm-hmm. On an annual basis or a semester basis.
Sure.
Then people who are at a lower level of income don't have that. And so that's one of the reasons why they're looking at perhaps from the legislative perspective, a financial aid-based tuition relief.
Sure. So it could somehow benefit people who can afford it more than – or so because we're hearing mixed signals from different lawmakers in the legislature, and we haven't even heard what, you know, a whole lot of people on the Joint Finance Committee have had to say about it, what – I'm going to ask you to predict the future, Dean Van Gallen. What are the odds that this thing – I mean, it doesn't seem to have a lot of support from the legislative leaders in the Senate and the Assembly. What are the odds that the tuition cut disappears?
You know, it's of course, hard to say. It is a process. The governor proposes a budget. It goes through the legislature. The Joint Finance Committee plays a critical role. And then – likely in May and June, we'll find out the outcome of that. But I have, you know, heard these questions about is the across-the-board tuition cut the best way to invest in affordability? So, you know, it's hard to say. I think the good news is that many in the legislature and certainly business leaders, a lot of citizens in this state have really rallied around higher education. They have concerns about the impact of the budget cuts the last number of years, and I've just seen more people stepping up to say, look, we value education, higher education. We need to invest. And what that looks like in the end is unclear, but I feel very good about the voices that have been raised in support of the UW system.
Yeah, a lot of budget hawks or fiscal conservative, you know, people in the legislature have definitely said on a whole number of issues that more revenue is needed or more state aid. It's an election year, and Mike Rindo, some have already said that, you know, Governor Walker's budget proposal, which increases aids to UW, to the public schools, what you name it, they're saying that this is some kind of an election year giveaway to try to curry favor with the voters. Is this tuition cut and the offset from the state aid point of view some kind of a campaign year gimmick? And even if it is, would take it, I guess?
I would be shocked to think that politics may be involved in a budget process. I mean, of course there's going to be political give and take, and that's the nature of the beast. I think the important thing is we're hearing consistently from the governor and from legislators that it's time to reinvest in the UW system after a number of years of cuts. And we're hearing that because our friends in, for example, the Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber Alliances, when they went down, and that's Chippewa Falls, Menominee, and Eau Claire, the Chamber Alliance, when they went down for the Chippewa Valley Rally this year in Madison. Mm-hmm. One of their top issues was reinvest in the UW system, support the UW system Board of Regents budget increase. And that's coming from the business community. We've heard loud and clear from the business community that they value the graduates that we produce. They value the kind of cultural and other economic development amenities that we bring to our communities and our region in general. So I do think that this is a pretty broad-based support for reinvestment in the UW system at this point in time.
With that, let's take our first break here on the west side. If you've got a question or a comment, you can call in at 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by Mike Rindo of UW Eau Claire. He's the Vice Chancellor of Facilities and University Relations there. Phil Lyons is with us as well. He's the Vice Chancellor of Administrative and Student Life Services at UW Stout. And Dean Van Gallen is Chancellor at UW River Falls. 1-800-228-5615. Phone lines are wide open. Let us know what you think of the governor's budget as it pertains to higher education. Do you like that he's proposing more money to go to college education? What do you think of the 5% tuition cut? If you're a parent that's paying tuition for your student, or for your child, I should say, let us know what you think of this proposal. We'll be back with more West Side in just a bit.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin-based Country Travel Discoveries, exploring the Southwest Wisconsin Driftless region and the hidden gems in the state with the Our Wisconsin and Yours Too tour. More at countrytraveldiscoveries.com. Support also comes from the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, welcoming singer-songwriter Chris Christopherson for one night only at the State Theater March 23rd. Tickets are on sale now at eauclairearts.com.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Good Monday morning to you. I'm joined in studio by Dean Van Gallen, Chancellor of UW-River Falls, Phil Lyons, Vice Chancellor of Administrative and Student Life Services at UW-Stout, Mike Rindo, Vice Chancellor of Facilities and University Relations at UW-Eau Claire. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got a question or a comment. We've already talked about the offset, the $100 million investment. Governor Walker has proposed this $100 million offset, but who decides, and is there any idea of how it's allocated to the different campuses, Phil Lyons?
The 5% offset?
No, I mean, the $100 million that's going to offset this theoretical tuition cut.
Well, the governor's budget is broken down into a whole number of funding buckets, and the largest, or one of the largest ones, of course, is the performance funding.
That's right.
It focuses on things like workforce development, on degree completion, on operational efficiencies, on service. To one of Mike's points before we went to the break, our business leaders in the state of Wisconsin are very interested in filling that jobs gap, in that skills gap. And if we look at investment and reinvestment into our jobs and our workforce and our workforce development, I think that that will really drive the state's economy. I think it will lift up the financial and economic standings of families. And I think that we'll start to see how valuable the UW system and the UW institutions are. And so I think this performance funding will give us a chance to prove ourselves and really show how valuable an educated student can be.
Now, does UW-Stout have a leg up because, you know, it's a polytechnic university? It's job placement very high at UW-Stout and at all the universities. I know that's very important to every campus in the UW system. But is this something that Stout might be more prepared for than, say, a UW-Madison or UW-Milwaukee?
Well, our job placement is 97.3%, and we like to brag about that. But all of our institutions really fill specific niches. River Falls has a wonderful programs in agriculture, mm-hmm. and biology and veterinary medicine. I would let the chancellor talk to that, but then Eau Claire has wonderful nursing and music programs, and
absolutely,
and we have programs that are focused on applied learning. I don't think it gives any institution really a leg up. I think we know what our strengths are, and I think we play to them.
Mike Rindo, is it frustrating at all? Because obviously all the universities or all the individual campuses have been making the case for as long as they've been around for why, you know, they're valuable to the economy and to the state. So to have funding go to performance-based, isn't that kind of having to reprove yourself when you've been doing it all along?
Well, I think that the UW system was the first university system in the nation to put into effect performance measures. So we've been doing this for a long time. This is not something that would be a new concept to the UW. We have accountability measures that we all are looking at, and that includes retention rate. It includes graduation rate, and so when you look at and job placement, I mean, Phil says, you know, 97.3% at Stout. It's 96.3% at Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. So it's very high, and so I don't think this is something that is daunting in any way. I think what we're looking at is what are the specifics of it, and how the devil is always in the details, right? So
absolutely.
How does it play out ultimately? But I don't think accountability measures or performance measures are something that we should be concerned about, because we've been accountable for a long, long time.
Our universities, I mean, a lot of them are liberal arts universities. I mean, not necessarily. There's the liberal arts bent, and it sounds like the governor is trying to make it more job, you know, workforce kind of contingent. At least the funding, is that problematic, or is it because we've done programs in the past about how it seems like there's more of an emphasis on the tech college and the trades than there is on, say, English, or you produce more philosophy majors. Dean Van Gallen?
Yeah, I think to some degree that the tide has turned a bit. I would say several years ago it was very much about a focus on the technical colleges, the need for welders and certain types of workers. But I believe there is an increased appreciation for universities preparing students not just for their first job but for their careers. Mm-hmm. And all of our institutions offer majors, unique degree programs, as Phil mentioned, but they also offer a broad-based liberal arts education. And I think that's important because it arms students with the ability to think critically, to solve problems, to be creative, to work in teams. And if you talk to employers, those are the types of skills and abilities that they're looking for. And so in the end, that's what great universities do, is prepare students not just for the first job but for a lifetime, a career, and citizenship.
We've got our first call of the morning. This one is coming from River Falls. Let's get Harry on the line. Harry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's on your mind, Harry?
Well, you know, we've heard that the governor has proposed a $1 million increment in the current budget. But, you know, I'm familiar with the UW system for decades with two members of family who have gotten degrees from UW system schools. And it occurred to me, I was going to ask our panelists, who probably know this answer off the top of their head, do you compare the magnitude of the cuts to the UW system over the last three budgets that have preceded what's coming up? How small is this $100 million increment in comparison to the magnitude of the cuts that UW has suffered over those last three budgets?
That's a great question. Let's go to Mike Rindo on that.
Well, I've got a this is actually goes back more than 3 years. It actually goes seven biennia. If you take a look at it, six of the last seven biennia, the UW system has seen cuts, and those cuts range from $66 million to $250 million, and there's been three $250 million cuts during that period of time. There was 1 year where there was no base reduction. If you take a look at that total, then that's $1.03 billion in reductions over those biennia. So the $100 million, do the math, it's a fraction. And I don't think anyone is suggesting that this budget would in any way make the UW system whole, but it certainly is a step in the right direction toward reinvestment in a meaningful way.
I'll follow up on that. The last biennium that we're currently in, there was a $250 million budget cut to the system. So that provides a bit of perspective when you talk about, you know, $100 million plus of reinvestment. Now, to your listeners, that sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But, you know, we have 13 four-year campuses. On our campus, that last budget cut caused us to reduce $2.87 million. We laid off 18 people. I mean, there were some very serious impacts on that, including two students, and I think that was true of all the campuses. So it becomes very real in terms of the quality that we offer and our ability to provide a great experience for our students, and that's the heart of what we do.
Thanks for the call, Harry. We appreciate it. 1-800-228-5615 if other listeners have questions or comments. We've got wide open phone lines right now. You can also check out the Westside Facebook page. Here's another question. This one comes from in-house, let's put it that way. Since the state covers a minority of the university budget, why should the state exercise so much control over the UW system? Bill Lyons.
Well, that's a great question.
I mean, I think that's getting to the whole idea of flexibilities that universities or even the public, I forget, not the public option, but the public authority.
Our budget, it's about 18% that's supported by the state. One of the areas that I was really hoping to see some change and to give us a bit more flexibility is in the ability to borrow for building projects. and specifically those building projects that are self-generated revenue. So an example of that would be a residence hall. What we were hoping to see was the ability for that borrowing to be given to the UW system, and that would reduce the borrowing metrics of the state. It would be moved to the UW system, and we would really be able to move building projects through in a much more efficient manner. That's one of the things that I think was a lost opportunity in this budget. I was really hoping to see that.
And I'm not sure, was that part of the budget recommendation that was put out by Ray Cross?
It was one of the requests that President Cross had made. It was one of the requests that in our Chippewa Valley rally we really were stressing as something that would benefit the UW system and the individual campuses.
The $250 million cut was pretty rough. So we already got it kind of as reported by the officials and faculty at some of the universities here in western Wisconsin. I did a feature on this for WPR, and I talked to Chancellor Schmidt, and I talked to Bob Meyer at UW-Stout. So for UW-Eau Claire, how did it change the way the university looked?
So the cut to UW-Eau Claire was $7.7 million, and it ended up being a 26% reduction in our state allocation. And we ended up with 179 fewer FTE, full-time equivalent employees. The number of employees was higher than that, but the full-time equivalent reduction was 179. That was about a 15% reduction in our workforce. It also resulted then in some fundamental reorganization of the institution, and we did a lot of consolidation of units, and there were a number of layoffs. We had 11 layoffs in order for us to work to try to maintain the student experience as best we could despite those cuts. We really took the cuts primarily, although not exclusively, in non-instructional areas. We emphasized that. Mm-hmm. So out of the 179 full-time equivalent positions lost, 69 were in the instructional area. The other 110 were elsewhere in the institution. So there were some areas that took disproportional cuts in order to do our best to minimize the impact on instruction. Even so, we had higher numbers of students in classes and we had fewer course selections, mm-hmm. as you might imagine when you have fewer people available to teach.
Sure. And at UW-Stout, Phil Lyons, can you give us a rundown? I mean, again, this is kind of old news, but we're still working
sure.
through it until this new budget kicks in. July 1.
Our percentage of that cut was $5.8 million. We did, as Mike said, a number of reorganizations. We had four colleges. We went to three,
right.
consolidating those programs into the three remaining colleges. We reorganized a variety of student affairs areas. We reorganized some of our custodial operations. And as Mike was saying, we're offering fewer sections of classes, and we offered retirement incentives
right.
that 55 of our faculty and staff took us up on. I think we lost 1,000 years of experience at the institution mm-hmm. when those individuals retired. And we had a number of layoffs as well, so that cut was sizable, and it was deep, and it hurt.
Yeah, and I just add, we had 98 people take the voluntary separation, early retirement.
Right, and I can't remember. Did River Falls do the early incentivize?
Not.
Okay,
no.
These cuts. What does that do for morale of employees, and how important is that in the final product? Because even if I would imagine people still try their best to, you know, the student is the focus, but does it have an impact?
It does, and I'm certainly very proud of our faculty and staff. They continue to be student-focused. I think we offer a great education. That said, that type of cut and reduction in workforce and some of the rhetoric that has come with that has been very difficult for faculty and staff, and again, I'm very, very proud of them. And maybe that highlights the importance of the budget decisions that are in front of the legislature and our elected officials in the next few months. This is an opportunity to invest and I think restore some support financially and in many other ways to the UW system. So really delighted with the basic governor's proposal in terms of investment, but it's really critical. I think we're at an important time in the history of the UW that the legislature and others step up and support us.
Now, Mike Rindo, now that we're seeing a lot of bipartisan calls for increased state aid to the university system, even if it doesn't make up for what was cut, does this mean that lawmakers are getting past what was called the $1 billion reserve or the slush fund? Is it something else?
Well, I do think that was a setback, and it was a self-inflicted type setback. Now, a lot of that money had been allocated for specific purposes, but
messaging.
The messaging wasn't good, and in some cases there was too much money in some of those accounts. So you have to take that as a very legitimate criticism from members of the legislature and the executive branch. I do think that, you know, with a lot of the things that we're now having to report to the Joint Finance Committee on an ongoing basis, that it's very clear that issue has been resolved. And when you hear the legislative delegation from this part of the state talk about it, they're very, very much in support, bipartisan support, yeah, for reinvestment in the UW system, including, and this is really important because it speaks to the morale issue, a pay plan for the first time in a number of years, because our salaries do lag behind in Wisconsin compared to our peer institutions, especially for faculty. A lot of institutions are at 20% less than what faculty are paid in other states. We're all seeing from our institutions faculty who are taking jobs in other states for substantially higher pay. And so the 2% plus 2% pay plan in this budget is welcome news for our faculty and staff.
We'll talk more about the pay plan, also known as a pay raise for UW system employees. Also, full disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio is part of our operating agreement is with UW Extension, so we are university employees as well. If you've got a question or comment, 1-800-228-5615. We've got a lot more to talk about when we come back after this brief break.
We help you make sense of the latest headlines weekday mornings on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, inviting you to join in our discussions on the issues facing Wisconsin and the world. We find knowledgeable guests from diverse perspectives to keep you informed and engaged on the issues of the day. And we always invite your input as we search for answers and understanding. We bring people and ideas together weekday mornings from 6 until 9 here on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Steep & Brew, a Wisconsin coffee roaster dedicated to delivering truly fresh, premium coffee to local grocers. Coffee roasted today is delivered within 72 hours. Steep & Brew, coffee done right. More at steepandbrew.com. Support also comes from The Master Singers, presenting the Easter concert Choral Images, Jubilate Deo, March 19th at 2 at the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Eau Claire. More at themastersingers.net.
I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday morning. We're talking about Governor Walker's budget proposal and how it will pertain, how it will trickle down to the universities here in western Wisconsin. You've got your UW-River Falls, UW-Stout, UW-Eau Claire, not to mention the UW colleges. If you've got a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by an all-star panel, including Mike Rindo. He's Vice Chancellor of Facilities and University Relations at UW-Eau Claire. Phil Lyons is Vice Chancellor of Administrative and Student Life Services at UW-Stout. And Dean Van Gallen is UW-River Falls' Chancellor. 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. Before the break, we started talking about pay at UW system campuses and through the UW system as a whole. And again, WPR. I technically am an employee of UW System through extension. But Governor Walker's budget includes to me, and this is what I found, and it's all very complicated, but $11.5 million for a pay plan increase. I think the UW System requested something like $78 million. Am I getting those numbers right, Phil Lyons?
Yes, you are. And the pay increases are in the second half of the biennium. It's really a zero in the first year and then a 2% and a 2% following.
And how much of an impact will that make?
On the individual faculty member or the individual staff member?
Or morale or whatever.
Well, it certainly is a move in the right direction. To pick up on a point that Mike was making before the break, compensation is a concern. We're at about 80% of our market. And what we're seeing now is not a brain drain, but there are competitor institutions outside of the state that are actually coming to Wisconsin to find our talent. We just lost one of our top faculty members. He wasn't looking for a job. He liked Wisconsin. He enjoyed it here. He enjoyed UW-Stout. But he was offered a $35,000 increase to his base salary.
Holy moly.
And $25,000 in faculty startup funds to be able to he's a filmmaker. And we just can't keep our faculty when it's that kind of offer that's being made, and there's no visibility forward to see that the compensation is going to be addressed. So this is a morale. This picks up morale in the fact that it's being talked about, it's being considered, and 2%, it's just a move in the right direction.
But aren't campuses able to move money around to offer some kind of merit-based increases within, in-house, Chancellor Van Galen?
We have limited ability to do that, and part of it is we simply don't have enough money to do very much of that. But I think this is a critical point. As Mike mentioned, our faculty and staff salaries are not competitive. The faculty, 18 to 20% below peers. One thing I'd like to note is, people ask me about faculty salaries. And one time I was talking to some business colleagues, and I said, well, what do you think a new faculty member makes? And I said, now, these people have a four-year degree, let's say in physics. They did very well. They went on to graduate school. Typically finished a PhD. That took 4 or 5 years. They may have some student debt out of that. They competed nationally to receive an offer for a position at one of our institutions. I mean, these are very talented, bright, hardworking people. And I asked my business friends, what do you think we offer those people for a salary? Well, they said about $90,000 or $75,000. Well, we would offer that person between $55,000 and $58,000 a year. I point that out because in the public, sometimes there's a perception that new faculty are paid, over $100,000. Now, at a Research One institution, right, those salaries are significantly higher. But I point that out just as a frame of reference in terms of what we're talking about here with some of our challenges for compensation.
We've got another caller on the line. This one is calling from Eau Claire. I'm sorry I didn't get the first name. You're on the air. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, this is Dan. I'm listening to your show.
Sure.
I just, as someone in the public who doesn't really understand the funding, some of the gentlemen described the budget cuts as disappointing and taking a big hit and hurting us. And so I would tend to think if something was hurting and it was a disappointment and we took a big hit, I would expect to say then that the quality of education at these institutions, because of the cuts, is poorer, is less, is not as good as what it was the last 7 years. But at the same time, I'm guessing the gentlemen are going to argue, no, it's just as good as it was and just as quality as it was, perhaps with a little bit of tweaks. And I'm just curious how they would defend that, and also in their own departments that they run. I'm sure each of them are disappointed in the amount that the university allocates to this school or this department or that department. And I'm just curious how they would respond to that.
That's a great question. Anyone would like to take a stab at that?
Well, there are leading indicators. There are leading indicators and there are lagging indicators. And so leading indicators are, you know, how many fewer people do you have? How much bigger are your class sections? How many fewer course sections are you teaching? The lagging indicators then are, what are the quality components that you have for your graduates coming out? And what is your four-year graduation rate? What is your six-year graduation? We don't know at this point what those lagging indicators will be from these budget reductions. As I said earlier, we really worked to minimize the impact on the instructional enterprise of the university. And so when we were making these budget reduction decisions, we were being strategic about it. We didn't do an across the board. We didn't come in and say, everybody's cut 15%. You know, so in my division, in one of my divisions, facilities, we took a 25% reduction. So how are we making up for that? Well, there are some things that we can't do, clearly, when you have that many fewer people. You can't do some of the preventive maintenance you'd like to be able to do mm-hmm. on an ongoing basis, just for one example. Now, is that a leading the inability to do preventive maintenance is a leading indicator. The lagging indicator is when you have a major mechanical system failure because you can't do preventive maintenance. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things I think that you don't know, and even though you're doing your best to try and prevent a major mechanical system failure, you don't know because the effect is slow and accumulative rather than sudden.
Chancellor Van Galen, the whole idea of quality, as these cuts were being parsed out in two-year chunks, you know, it did seem like in the beginning of when the cuts started happening that all the universities, all the officials I ever talked to said, you know, they were very sure to talk about quality being maintained. But then it seemed like, without saying that quality was suffering, they're basically saying that this is hurting us to the point that this is causing some impacts on students. And that, to me at least, it was just my perception, but it seemed like there was a shift. And I'm wondering, was there some kind of internal, we need to change our messaging on this, or?
I think the reality has been we've experienced a series of budget cuts, but the cut that we experienced at $250 million in this current biennium was tremendously impactful. There was very little room to be creative, if you will. And it has resulted in, and I think across the board, larger class sizes. Mm-hmm. You know, less attention, if you will, for individual students. That's concerning. What impact will that have on our retention rates, our graduation rates? Because this is a very human enterprise. That interaction between students and faculty and staff is critical. And to Mike's point, the impacts of these cuts, there are short-term impacts, and we feel them very much on the campus. But what about 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 years down the road in terms of the effectiveness of the system? That's something I worry about.
We've got one more caller on the line right now, Don in Eau Claire. You're on the air.
I'm very much interested in the use of salaries in terms of attracting and keeping good people. And one of the problems that we obviously are facing now, I'm a retired faculty member and administrator, is that some of these difficulties are modest now compared to what they can be like 8 or 10 years down the road. Somebody who is probably 60 years old is not going to rush off looking for another position necessarily. But what will happen is that if we have an extreme shortage of good faculty members in a number of areas is that we will makeshift hiring, use part-time people. We will let people go by offering early retirement and replace them with somebody who's not as experienced necessarily, or even do a lot of part-time work where the faculty member is not really available like a regular full-time faculty member. And this can be very, very hurtful. One year when I was hiring for my department, I had a national availability of an organization. I had only 13 applications from anywhere in the world, and I finally went, because of the salary thing particularly, went to choice 9 out of 13. Well, we revved the salaries up eventually, but then we again seemed to be falling behind, from what I understand, with many of the people I still know from the university faculty. And this can be very dangerous when your next group of students comes in at 8 years from now and 10 years from now.
Sure. Well, Don, thanks so much for the thought. I'd like to go to Phil Lyons.
Sure, he brings up very good points. All of our institutions are really in our missions are the delivery of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I worked with a former provost that used to tell me that, Phil, money is the root of all excellence. And that really is investing in the best and the brightest you can bring in to teach the young minds that are entering your halls, and to keep, to retain, to attract the best faculty to put in front of students. We need to be competitive, and right now we're lagging.
We could talk about the just the effect of boosts and cuts all day. I wanted to talk about another aspect of Governor Walker's budget proposal, and again, this is all subject to change once it hits the legislature. But this has to do with segregated fees. Governor Walker's budget includes an option for students at campuses around Wisconsin to opt out of paying certain segregated fees. And it's kind of complicated because there are two different kinds. And I wanted to ask you, I'll go to Mike Rindo, what do you know about the proposal and what are you hearing for the reasoning behind it?
Well, this is really inside baseball, but we'll try and explain it. Students pay a fee, and it goes to support a lot of different things. And it, for example, it can go to support student health services. It can go to support the Foreman Artist Series, the forensics program. There's two categories, and Phil's really the expert here, so I'm going to hand it off.
Oh, let's do that. Right,
allocable,
Phil.
And non-allocable. And
the pass is to you.
Well, the non-allocable fees have long-term commitments. Faculty, or not faculty, but staff contracts, debt service, things associated that are not easily waivable. Mm-hmm. The allocable fees are, as Mike said, for those student activities that are lectures, intramurals, things like that. What I'm very concerned about is the administrative overload or overhead that is attached to a process where we determine who is and is not a fee-paying student when it comes to joining a student organization or attending some sort of field trip or enjoying a lecture or a concert or many of the things that the allocable student fees pay for. The cost of being able to track those students, in addition to the administrative burden of putting it on a student's bill and then removing it for our folks in our bursar's office, could be more expensive than actually the fees that are brought in. And so I hope we really get into the weeds on looking at the details of that proposal.
I guess I hadn't even thought that if a student opts out, they wouldn't be able to participate in certain things.
Yeah, they shouldn't be able, and who and how you identify those students would be a little problematic.
Here's one reason. There was a conservative publication called Wisconsin Watchdog, and they reported that some of the UW-Madison student fees go towards things on kink classes, basically some out there kind of sexual politics or sexual classes. Also, there was another class that they had a problem with, had to do with Hispanic nationalism. In other words, some of these, they were arguing that some people felt uncomfortable paying for certain groups, maybe like a gay-affiliated club or something like that. Is there merit to that?
Well, the fees are not structured in a cafeteria-style
right.
A platform. For people that might object to that, there is people that might object to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So it isn't set up where you vote on all student organizations across the board. You're paying a fee that gives you access to participate in the ones that you see that you find interest in.
Sure.
I think it's also important to note that those don't go for classes, so it's not a class being taught. The other thing is student senates, who are the representative body of the students, make the decisions on allocable fees. So
right.
It's not like administration just saying, we're going to give money to this or to that. The students make those decisions.
All right. That is our time. We ended it on inside baseball, but we could have spent another hour or two on this. Keep an eye out for the budget. We'll see how it trickles down to the universities. My thanks to our guests, Mike Rindo of UW-Eau Claire, Phil Lyons of UW-Stout, and Dean Van Gallen of UW-River Falls. Thanks for all the great calls and questions. Next week, we'll talk about a teacher shortage in the public school system, especially hitting rural school districts in western Wisconsin. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.